Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the mic, straight out of London, UK, you are listening to Max the WrestleManiac, if you will.
Maniac gang, what are we saying? What are we saying? Welcome or welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK show. My name is Mex, and a really, really fast-paced, good start to the year in terms of everything we're out here trying to achieve. I hope you guys are all good. But wrestling in general, I think it's just been a really good start to the year. We were kind of whinging towards the back end of December that, you know, things are a bit slow right now. Nothing to really look forward to. But no, I think, you know, the main products that we talk about here on this channel, on this platform, AEW, WWE, got off to a really good start for 2022. And of course, AEW have now done their move to TBS. And it was very much a launch show. You know, the show we got last week for AEW Dynamite. Dynamite now being on TBS. Very good viewing figures that AEW Dynamite pulled in. Over a million, which is always nice. So congrats to AEW for that. We saw Jade Cargill get crowned the TBS champion. Very, very interesting. I think a lot of us predicted this. Obviously, going into the final, she beat Ruby Soho. Very good to see. Somewhat, some would say, controversial, especially following the Big Swole thing. But I would argue that Jade Cargill was always destined to win this TBS title. Gonna talk a bit more about if Jade Cargill is the right choice on my YouTube channel on Wrestle Extra. So you guys check that out. The Wrestle Extra show, myself and A Dazzle from Black Wrestling Alliance. We're going to talk about Jade Cargill and her credentials as TBS champion. We also saw Jungle Express win the tag team championship, which kind of came like a bit of a shock. Didn't really expect them to win. I expected them to win soon enough, but right here on this particular night, I didn't really expect them to beat the Lucha Bros for the tag team championships, but it was a very good match. I hope Phoenix recovers from his injury. We all saw that gnarly, gnarly bump he took. Choke slam through the table outside the ring, and he just basically dislocated his arm. It wasn't a break. A very bad dislocation, it's been said. So hopefully Phoenix can recover from that. But of course, while Phoenix is out, we may get a very good singles run from Penta. So looking forward to that. But yeah, hope Phoenix gets better soon, and congratulations to Jungle Express. Jungle Boy Jack Perry, finally a champion in AEW. Him and Luchasaurus, it's been a long time coming. Happy to see those guys with some gold. And then, of course, Battle of the Belts. We got over the weekend, like a special show, 1 hour show. Cody couldn't make it to defend the TNT Championship. I think he has COVID. So Sammy Guevara took on Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes stood in for his brother, and they've now put into place an interim tag team championship. And to be completely honest, I don't know what was the need for this at all. Like, why wouldn't they just take this match off the card? Why wouldn't they just, you know, make the tag team champions Jurassic Express defend the title against someone on, you know, the card instead? I understand it's called Battle of the Belts, but, you know, the world title wasn't on the show. So the TNT title didn't have to be on the show. Now they put this interim TNT title in place. It just feels a bit unnecessary to me, personally. But yeah, I don't think they needed to do this. But you guys let me know what you think. And then, of course, WWE side of things. You've got Royal Rumble coming up. Lashley and Lesnar is just looking excellent. Thoroughly enjoyed their promo segment on Raw this past week. Really good to see these guys have the likes of MVP and Paul Heyman just stand back and let them go at it. Really, really enjoyed that, and they've done a good job. Randy Orton and Riddle, probably the hottest thing on Raw for the past year, split up. Very, very weird, out of nowhere. I like Alpha Academy. I like what work they've been doing. They haven't really won a lot as a tag team, which is baffling to see them now beat the tag team champions, but they are kind of building up Otis. I like them, but Riddle and Randy Orton were super, super over. So not sure why they've just kind of abruptly split up that team. It's surely to do with maybe what they've got planned for WrestleMania, and maybe they just wanted to free them up from now. But I guess we'll see. We'll see how they tell this story. And one for you guys, in case you missed it, Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne had a match on WWE Main Event. This is the show that's obviously recorded before Raw. Ciampa and Pete Dunne is the main roster in their future. So yeah, obviously Tommaso Ciampa lost the NXT Championship just last week to Bron Breakker. Now he's, you know, up on the main roster doing main roster things, at least on main event. Pete Dunne, the baddest man in NXT, now finds himself on main event, on the main roster, if you like. So yeah, I'm happy to see my British brother Pete Dunne up there. Very interesting to see what these two's future holds for them. But to today's show, and I'm joined by another one of my British brothers, talking about British brothers. We've got big wavy Roy Johnson on the show. Very, very happy and privileged to have Roy on the show. Been speaking to him, spending a lot of time over the last year, especially. Just a good-hearted brother, man, that, you know, all he wants to do is just enjoy his wrestling, and I respect it. I respect it. We had a really cool, honest conversation because we're coming up to the 5-year anniversary of when he was announced for the NXT UK tournament, that inaugural tournament. Roy Johnson was on that card. So we talk a bit about that, you know, those early years of his career and his opportunity in NXT UK, if you like, for WWE, if you like. And we talk about where his career went from there. Opportunities that came to him, opportunities he didn't take, and maybe what he's got on the horizon in the next few months and what he has planned for the year 2022. So a really, really fun, honest conversation with a hard-working wrestler today, Roy Johnson on the show. So yeah, bringing you those great episodes each and every week. But guys, firstly, before we get into the episode, remember to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on your podcast platform of choice. If you're listening on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, please leave us with a 5-star review. I thoroughly appreciate it. And of course, share the podcast on social media too. Let's jump into it without any further ado. My conversation with big wavy Roy Johnson. Cool. Hola, Roy Johnson.
What's going on?
I'm good.
I'm not getting better intro than that.
Well, I mean, you can give us your intro, but I'm just trying to, you know, bring the Spanish vibes. I think hola, Spanish.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Buenos dias. What's going on, people? My name is Roy. I'm a wrestling fan, a wrestling enthusiast, a professional wrestler, if you will.
This is gimmick infringement. I never thought that I would be the one that my gimmick gets copied.
Yeah, you like that one, yeah?
It's nice. It's nice. I've heard it before. What's the difference between Buenos Dias and Hola?
So Buenos Dias is more like Buenos Dias. Basically, it's like good day.
Okay.
Good day. You say it in the morning when you first see someone. It's always come like good morning greeting. Hola's just a hello. Cool. It's like Yeah, you know, if you walk past someone in the street and they say good morning, they kind of sing it to you.
What do you mean by sing?
No, okay, I say this because I used to work with someone who used to sing good morning. Okay. It's like good morning.
Okay.
It's like that versus hi.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you now. Cool. Big wavy Roy Johnson, Ibiza's favorite son. He's here today on the pod. How did we get to Ibiza anyway? Of all places.
Because Ibiza is actually part of me. Like, I'm there every year, every summer season. I'm there, not as extensively as I have been in the past, but like, like I used to go there once a year, maybe twice. And then there was one year where I went 2018 went 3 times, and then 1 year 2019 went 4 times, and then right. And then 2020, when the pandemic hit, I just went there for a whole summer, so for like 3 months.
You're a native then, somewhat.
Well, that's the thing, like, as each time grew, because obviously now, because I lived there for 3 months, I met so many people out there, like, you know, so many friends who live out there, made so many connections and stuff with people. But when I came back out there this year, I couldn't go anywhere. This is in one centralized area, but like, I couldn't go anywhere without bumping into someone I knew. It's been mad. So like, so yeah, it just feels like a second home now. Like, I can go there and it doesn't feel like I'm on holiday because I know exactly where I'm going.
Mm-mm.
You know, when you're on holiday somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. Yeah. You're on holiday and you have to ask, oh, where's good to go for this, or where's good to go for that, or I need to find my hotel. Or like, mm-hmm. I'll just walk around and I know where I'm going. Like, yeah, it's second nature. It's like I'm walking down like Croydon High Street or something. I know exactly where I'm going. So
it's good to feel that comfortable in another country, you know, because to be honest, I guess it's an anxiety. When I go on holiday, for the first 2 days at least, I'm on edge. Like, I'm so on edge. But yeah,
because I think that's probably why I go there so much, because I don't want to have that feeling in the early days, and I should probably want to see a little bit more of the world or whatever. But like, I felt like I can just go there and I'm like, oh, I know where this is, I know where that is. Like, you know, my friend's bar's here,
yeah,
this bar's here, whatever. I know where the gyms are, everything. So I'm patterned, I'm good. So,
I went to Ibiza in 2017 for 1 day. My friends are having a villa party out there.
Oh, nice.
So nice. I actually flew out. I got there at like 8 a.m. in the morning, went to the party. Then about 4 a.m. I left. I was back in London by about 6, 7 a.m.
Man, that's crazy.
Day. I saw nothing but the villa. Didn't see the country, didn't see the city at all.
See, I've done 2 days. Or a day and a half. One day's impressive.
That's fine, because you're a native, so you can just you can fly in and fly out. Like, I don't really tell people. If it wasn't you, I wouldn't tell people I've been to Ibiza, because I ain't seen nothing.
But yeah.
Is that your favorite holiday destination?
I wouldn't say it is, because when I've been there, it doesn't feel like I'm on holiday anymore. Mm. Like, I go out there and then I'll go see my mates or whatever, and I'm just like, it's just like my location where I live is switched. So like, I go, I still go out there and I work and stuff, but then and go to the gym in the evenings or what have you, and whatnot, and the weekends, whatever I want to do. But then like, I'll take a couple of days off and then I'll actually do holiday stuff.
Okay.
So like, I'll take a couple of days off and, you know, book myself into a all-inclusive hotel and just relax and whatever. But I don't really count it, plus it's holiday. So as far as holiday destinations go, probably, well, it's up there. It has to be up there anyway, but maybe Miami. I really liked Miami. Really liked New Orleans, actually. New Orleans was good. It's not so much a similar kind of vibe, because there's no beaches or anything like that, but it's good food.
No. Seems it's a good party place as well, it seems.
Yeah. Different kind of party vibe, because it's all like Bourbon Street and that, but it's a bit mad, but it's different.
Nice. If you could get to wrestle someone of your choice in front of like a ring on the beach in Ibiza, who would you pick?
I don't know, because it'd have to be an actual wrestler to start off with. Mm. But I don't know, because this is the thing, because I've got to a point now. I don't, when people ask me who's your like dream opponent, I don't have anyone anymore. Like, or who, you know, everyone comes out with their list of their people they want to wrestle. And I don't have one of those, because I've wrestled most of the people I've wanted to wrestle. And any other people will, you know, I put on this will be a rematch or whatever. And plus, also, there's people I probably do want to wrestle, and then without thinking about it, I would miss them out on the list or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but with regards to that question, it'd have to be someone who's like, whose character meshes well with mine, but in that environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you someone doing the blue blood gimmick or something, or you know, someone who's like who's out there, but like, oh, this place is beneath me, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's me fighting, defending my island, kind of thing.
That would be interesting.
White meat baby face. You know,
against someone that doesn't want to be there at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrestling on the beach, sand in my boots.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know who that would be. So
cool. All right. We're going to jump into getting to know some of your wrestling preferences, a bit of this or that. So I'll give you two options and let's hear what you got. So Ricochet or Cedric Alexander?
Cedric,
cool. Royal Rumble or WrestleMania?
WrestleMania.
The Rock or Austin?
The Rock.
Ladder match or tables match? Which one would you rather watch? Which one would you rather be in?
I'd rather watch a ladder match. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather be in a tables match.
Why is that?
Because I've been through a table, I know what it feels like. So
okay.
But I don't know what a ladder feels like. So
falling off a ladder or falling onto one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big. Well, I'm not afraid of heights, but it's not my favorite either. So. Yeah,
I hear that. Okay. Yeah. NWO or DX?
this is the one I've been dreading. I hate this question because I'm gonna say DX, but I'm only gonna say DX because I personally like so my Mount Rushmore's got Sean in it.
Yeah.
So that's 1 point to DX. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite and most underrated workers of all time, I think, is X Pac. So I love watching his stuff. So that's enough tick for DX. Love the Outlaws, love the Road Dog, like whatever. I've taken so much of X Pac's stuff in his like moveset and his character stuff, kind of, I guess. Ring gear, all that sort of stuff. I'd say DX, but at the same time, looking at my wardrobe, I've got so many NWO. I got like two NWO Hollywood t-shirts. I've got an Outsiders t-shirt. I've got a Wolfpack t-shirt. I've got NWO shorts. I've got two NWO caps. And this is things I can remember off the top of my head. Like, I've got so much NWO merch that I still wear to this day because it's legendary
stuff, honestly.
Like, I went to a Villa party in Ibiza and I was wearing an Outsiders t-shirt. And I walked into this party and this guy's like, "Oh, your t-shirt's really cool." I'm like, "Do you know about the Outsiders?" I thought she was just talking rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't know. She must have thought this guy might have alcohol on him. I could bum a few things off him. But I started talking to her. She actually did know a bit about wrestling and stuff. So,
fair enough. Cool. All right, DX. Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy?
Matt Hardy.
Sasha or Bailey?
Bailey.
John Cena or Batista?
Cena.
Kaylee Ray or Bea Priestley?
Kaylee Ray.
MJF or The Miz?
The Miz. That was hard though, but I think people don't realize how good The Miz is. So I'll give him that just because. But there's going to be MJF is going to be the guy for quite a while. So
yeah, will come where it will be MJF 100%.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Attitude Era or Ruthless Aggression?
Ruthless Aggression.
And WWE or AEW?
WWE.
Nice. Cool. So I grabbed you today specifically to talk about your time with WWE. Now, I purposely, once I started my podcast, I had a little plan of when I'm going to speak to everyone, and I purposely kept you for this week because, as you rightly said...
No way, I was thinking, when's Mex going to get me on? And now it makes sense.
And you know what? It was in my head as well. Like, I hope he doesn't think like I'm speaking to everyone else and I'm not speaking to him. I purposely kept you for this week because, like you rightly said before we started recording, your time hop showed you it's 5 years to the day as we record today that you were announced to be on the WWE NXT UK tournament. And obviously, in a couple of days' time, will be the actual anniversary of your match with Pete Dunne. I was getting into UK wrestling maybe around that time, 2016, 2017. I'd seen a lot of the names of, the household ones, if you like, in the UK, of Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate. Mark Andrews as well was doing, was around then. I had no idea who you were. I saw, obviously I was watching the UK tournament and stuff on the network. I saw the vignette of you taking the mic from Charlie Caruso, and I heard rapping and I turned and looked at the screen. I literally, by the time my brain comprehended what happened, the camera moved to Charlie Caruso and she was doing some little dance or something. I had to rewatch the entire thing and I was just like, what is going on here? But I saw you and I said, cool, Roy Johnson. Right. And then I think the names and everything was announced to the brackets. And I said, Roy Johnson's going to be facing Pete Dunne. Cool. All right, then. By then, I think I had found around the internet, found some other stuff. And I'll hold my hands up. I was one of these people that thought, he's a roadman gimmick.
And that's probably more on me than people maybe misinterpreting or whatever. Because, you know, when I first started the gimmick, it was very much a South London-centric gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, which is fine when I first signed out because that's where I was wrestling. Then it got to a point where I started getting spread out a little bit more over the country. And it was fine when I was wrestling outside of London because I could just be the heel and just be like, you know, how did I find myself in this place up north or wherever? Yeah, I was way out of there and it's like, I need to go back home kind of thing, which is fine. But then when WWE then get involved, you become... you have to appeal to a worldwide gimmick. So then I just became this urban wrestler from the UK, which essentially translates into a roadman.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I had a couple of friends. I was literally like, you know, oh, come, there's a roadman in wrestling. Come and watch this.
Man, a lot of people were like that as well.
I was watching it. I think I'd seen, from like I said, when I was doing a bit of research on you before the match was televised, I'd seen your entrance. You had like Boy Better Know music and like gigs music and all this kind of stuff. So we were invested. But yeah, it was all like clips and stuff. I hadn't really seen wrestle. And then obviously Pete Dunne, you know, was kind of like top of, you know, I guess the UK about that time.
He was up next, basically. He was
How did that whole opportunity with NXT UK come about?
Well, it's a bit mad. So I'll take it right back. So so when I started when I started doing the I guess the roadman gimmick, I had a Wasteman challenge on a progress show, chapter show. So if you're not aware what Chapter Show is, it's like their main shows that they do. And it just so happened that it was announced that William Regal was in town and he was coming to watch the show.
Because that like said backstage amongst you guys?
So it wasn't announced. It was like he was in the country scouting.
Okay.
And then it was just he said this is like as it announced between the wrestlers on the show kind of thing. It wasn't made public that he was going to be there just to watch the show. He wasn't like, he wasn't going to get in the way or anything. He just wanted to come and watch the show, and that's that. And I was like, oh, wow, what happened, the thing that I was annoyed about, because he did a seminar at my wrestling school, but I was booked that day, so I couldn't go to it. But I was like, you know what? He's going to be at a show that I'm wrestling at. And not only that I'm wrestling at, that he's going to say, I have my segment where I'll be talking. So he'll get to see where I'm at, basically, what I'm all about at that point, because no one's going to have that kind of opportunity to talk and wrestle on the show. so we had that match or whatever, and then I just asked him for feedback, because like everyone, obviously, as you can understand and appreciate, everyone was pulling him to one side to ask for feedback and stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, how long have you been wrestling? I told him, like, at that point it'd been like a year and a bit, and how many matches I'd had. And I think at that point, it may be maybe even about maybe 20 or so or whatever. So he's like, well, for your like level of experience, you're way ahead of where you should be. But kind of out of the opinions, like you're probably coming a bit too soon for WWE stuff. So just keep what you're doing. We'll see where you are in maybe a year or so. Prior to that as well, actually, I'd met Canyon Seaman before, because he also came to watch a progress show. He's scouting a couple of people. This is earlier in the year. I think it might even have been even before I started wrestling, actually, before I made my debut. But like, I was told that, you know, they might have a look at me, because I'm, compared to other people on the indies at that time, you know, I'm not a white guy, I'm not 5'6", I don't have long hair, like, you know, six foot black guy, athletic background, that kind of stuff. So so I had that in the back of my mind. But anyway, so, and this is my interpretation of how this all pans out, but World of Sport happened.
Yeah.
The reboot. They probably had a few, their eye on a few people in that tournament. So, so of course they did a counter, the UK tournament. Mm. Also, not that, so it wasn't a tournament, it was a TV show. Sorry.
Yeah.
WWE countered with their UK tournament. And they had to get together a group of guys to do the tournament. They had a tryout recently, or just before that, they announced the UK tournament. So they picked some guys from that tournament, and then they had some guys in the peripheral who they were probably looking at as well. Sorry, mate.
That's all right.
Better than being me. Because William Regal had met me before from that show. He'd seen a lot of what I guess I'm capable of in ring and on the microphone as well. And yeah, he just rang me up one day. I was given a heads up that he had that, and because I gave permission to give my details to him.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, the next day, I got a phone call from him, which is just so weird, man. Just,
I can imagine.
Just a phone call from Connecticut, William Regal, asked me if I'm interested in some work or whatever. I was like, yep. Filled out about, I can tell you how many forms I had to fill out. Oh my God, it's 3 days. But yeah, filled out with all these forms, and then I went to London, signed the contract, everything I needed to do for the tournament, and then it was announced what the tournament was. At the time, we didn't know what it was.
Okay.
So yeah, a bit of a mad time. Really, like, I look back at it now, just and how like quickly it all happened, and just think if that had been the point of my rescue where I made it, it just goes to show how quickly things can turn around for you. I had a show maybe the week before I heard from Mr. Regal, and the show didn't go very well. Or my match on the show didn't go very well, and I was contemplating not wrestling anymore.
Wow.
Because I had a match I didn't enjoy. I was kind of like, what's the point?
Ready to pack it in,
yeah. And then all this madness happened. So,
why didn't you pack it in? Why did you? What made you continue?
Because I love wrestling, and when I started wrestling, the thing that held me back, or that made me not want to do it, was the thought of, if I don't enjoy wrestling, it's gonna ruin my enjoyment of it as a fan as well.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So if I do it and I flop or whatever, then I'm going to hate watching it.
Yeah.
But essentially, what I realized after this one show is like, this one match, like, yeah, you're only as good as your last match, but I can work on stuff. I'll get better. I'll get more experience and what have you. And then this happened. So.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, you had a good fun match with Pete Dunne. He progressed in the tournament, went on to the final where Tyler Bate beat him. But just with being in that environment, you know, WWE production, everything, whether it's a production factor or something else, what's one thing you say you found out about WWE or the wrestling business whilst you were there that you like didn't know before?
I guess, so I've never obviously wrestled on anywhere on that scale before. to think like everything was just so on a bigger scale. Like, you know, I've never done a show where they had catering, backstage, talent. You know, I never had my travel paid for. I never had the pub in a hotel or anything like that before. It was all that stuff like that. But, you know, had coach travel to the venue and all this sort of stuff, and had people turn up at your hotel asking for pictures and autographs and stuff. Well, it's just all like really mad stuff like that. Like, the thing that sticks with me is before my match. So you hear the show's going on or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, my match is next, and then they're like, right, 3, 2, 1, go, and I'm like, yo,
behind the curtain.
That is, yeah. So I'm stood in like waiting. I say just beyond Gorilla.
Okay.
As in like behind the curtain, and it's kind of like, you know, when you're on the indies, you go when you're ready.
Okay, yeah.
Because you hear like your music playing, you're like, well, the drop is here. If I don't go there, there's another drop here, kind of thing, you know, whatever. I'll go when I feel like it. Sometimes I might be having a conversation with someone while my music's playing, and I'm like, I'm not saying yet, so I'm just going to finish the conversation, then I'm going to go. But there's like, it's just like 3, 2, 1, and not only is it 3, 2, 1, go, it's 3, 2, 1, you're on TV now.
Yeah, camera hits everything.
Yeah, so it's just a bit crazy. But also, the accessibility of it all. So my dad lives in America. Mm-hmm. He's been to see me wrestle like once or twice when he's been in the UK, and it's convenient. But with the tournament, he was able to watch me wrestle live in his living room because it was broadcast internationally. You know, he was going around telling people at his work, like, my son is just signed for WWE.
I'm getting goosebumps, lots of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's all, it's like,
that is mental.
Because my dad's like, he works and lives in Miami. So he'd be talking to someone in his office and like, you know, Americans, they love wrestling, yeah? So my dad'd be like, yeah, my son's signed for WWE. He's doing this UK tournament that's on over the weekend. And my dad's work colleagues tuned in to watch it because it was accessible for them to watch it. There's just stuff like that, you know.
That's so proud, like, to be there telling people, and like you said, it's just the ability that I'm literally just gonna flick on, you know, TV network, whatever the case is, and just find it there, like, and it lives there, like, it's one thing that's on your CV that will never be gone, like, you know, you have done that, and what they've done. Another tournament since, so only two tournaments?
Yes, there have been two tournaments. So I was in the first tournament, one of 16 people who wrestled in the first tournament. No one can take it away from me, so, you know.
That's amazing, bro. what advice would you have given, you know, that guy, I guess, one 18 months experience in the business, getting his opportunity in WWE? It was kind of just that one-off opportunity. But what advice would you maybe given yourself then from what you know now?
From what I know now, I probably would have turned it down. As mad as it sounds, I probably would have turned it down and said, come look at me in a year. Because I wasn't aware, obviously, there'd be another tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This very, very much to me was just a tournament. there was no potential for NXT UK afterwards like that. As far as I knew when we first did the tournament, they're like, oh, this actually did really well. We need to do something like, you know, further with this kind of, that was the gist.
Yeah.
So for me, like doing the tournament, at the time anyway, I didn't think I was I felt it came soon to me, but I didn't feel like I was like I'm not ready for it or whatever. But no, if I knew then what I knew now, I would have turned it down and say, no, come look at me in a year.
Yeah. When you're probably more polished, more experienced, maybe even character wise, you know, you've got some bit more knowledge under your belt around that as well. That makes sense. But you can never shoot yourself down for that because WWE is WWE.
If I turn it down and they're like, they never come for me, then I'd be like, why did I turn it down?
Yeah, exactly.
I've always had that moment. One of the proudest moments of my life, you know, going out to WWE, wrestling on the WWE network, My mum, my sister, front row. Like,
amazing.
Like coming back to after the match, and you know, my mum's there, you know, almost in tears and all this sort of stuff. It's just like you can't, not want that. So it works out how it should have worked out, and I shouldn't really go back and think I'll do it anyway different because it's how it goes.
Yeah, and just to close off this chapter, like after that, obviously, I guess you returned to Progress and other opportunities around. Like, what was that in terms of getting work and touring the country, things like that? How was that after you had, I guess, the WWE stamp attached to your name now?
So obviously more people knew about me. Mm. And I was getting bookings like further afield than I was before. I use that position to get more bookings, and I think because a lot of the guys in the tournament may not have been as able to work as I'd been for places, so kind of, and the wrestling scene was really different to how it is now. There's a lot less wrestlers back then in the UK. Yeah. Now there's loads. Probably due to that there being this tournament and then this clear path to the WWE. Yeah. So, but yeah, I used that to get my name about as many places as possible. I incorporate parts of the tournament into my gimmick. I really tried to just milk it as much as I could to get as much as I could out of the opportunity because I just wanted to be better. So, yeah.
No, that's absolutely fair. Why wouldn't you put your highest accolade on your CV? Of course.
Yeah.
We'll all do it. Okay. But then, like I say, 4 or 5 years on now, we're no longer that iteration of Roy Johnson. We are this brand new, Ibiza loving, Wayne Lineker's favorite wrestlers, different party boy almost, Roy Johnson. Why did we feel we needed the rebrand? It's always good to refresh the character, of course, but
yeah,
it's kind of like different spectrum from where we were. So why that vast difference?
I think, so the way my character was going, I was becoming just a wrestler because I was stripping down elements of the character because I wanted to get booked on more shows, basically. And when you're a character in the indies, it's difficult to pick up bookings as someone or as a straight wrestler, as many bookings as like a straight wrestler would, because they have to have the right spot for you. So I stripped it down to just being a heavyweight wrestler, which is fine. There's no knock on anyone who is like that. But then it kind of felt like, oh, people saying, oh, well, you should do this now and you should do that. I'm like, that's not me. It's not me. You should be like this wrestler. No, it's not me. And then obviously COVID happened. My honest thoughts about this is I think if COVID hadn't have happened, the way things were going for me, I think I'd be signed by now. Mm-hmm. That's just whether people not agree or not, is whether it's my genuine belief.
Yeah.
I not long before COVID, I was on NXT UK. that went really well. The feedback I got from people was really good. I was having good conversations with the right people.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. And so I had to come up with something different and something that ultimately I'd enjoy. And I just thought, okay, whatever I do in wrestling, it has to be personable. It has to be something that's actually close to myself as a person. And where was I when I was having that thought? I was in Ibiza. So...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it definitely makes sense. And not just with the rebrand, like the aesthetic change in your appearance and things like that, what you're wearing and things like that. But I saw this change because I was following you on Instagram and I saw this change in just your physical appearance. Not that you were even like, you've always been
are very muscular and obviously someone that looked after themselves. But then when with this Ibiza gimmick came, you know, I guess the discipline of your fitness and your health, in my opinion, I saw it more and more, and you're posting more and more. Just, I'm in the gym, I'm working, sort of thing. I remember even, I think some point last year, maybe middle of last year, me and A Dazzle, Black Wrestling Alliance, interviewed you on Wrestle Extra.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were eating, I think, probably chicken and broccoli during the interview. And Adrian messaged me. He's like, is this guy serious? And after the interview, I showed him, you're on a journey. Like, he's doing his thing. He didn't know whether it was part of the gimmick or not.
No, that was purely because, like, I time my eating as
to. I remember you saying, I need to eat at this time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when I'm going to the gym, and that was the only window I had to eat.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like, cool.
I ate before we did this, by the way. So
that's cool. I mean, why did you think, you know, what was the thing, the penny that dropped that made you think the fitness has to be, you know, definitely up with what I'm doing as well?
Well, like you mentioned, I've always been into it, anyway, trying to keep myself in shape or whatever. But then it's just like, during COVID times, I was doing a lot of online coaching stuff with wrestling coaches. So I did one with Lance Storm, I did one with Dr. Tom. And
sorry, are these conditioning sessions or like what kind of training?
You sit and have a video call with them. They'll watch some of your matches, give you feedback, and then just have a discussion on. Just an open discussion on many aspects of wrestling, and you know how and their opinions on where to take things from there. And a lot of them, like they say to you, look, obviously, I don't know you as well as you know you. I don't know you as well as other people in the scene know you. But from what I see in front of me, I can give you my opinion and guidance on certain things.
Yeah.
And I did one with Dr. Tom, and one thing he said to me. Was as advice is get abs and get them out, and that's stuck with me. Honestly, if I could only take one thing from that, or if I only remember one thing from that, that's it, and it stuck with me the whole time. So I just thought, you know what, he's right, like because it's a good look.
Yeah, and
if I'm doing this whole Ibiza gimmick, why would I not be showing off my physique? That's what people do out there, walk around topless all the time, whatever. So, you know, so that was one thing. And I started doing the hosting gig at Progress. Mm. And if I'm being completely honest with you, I was quite disappointed that I wasn't yet wrestling. Mm. And so I was thinking, well, I'm so not in control.
To be completely honest with you.
A few people were, but I think for me, it's like, you know, wrestling's, is not happening because of COVID, but there's one company who is doing wrestling and they're doing it in very safe protocols with regards to COVID. Mm. But I'm not able to wrestle still. So I've had this whole horrible period of time where I've not been able to do what I love doing. But then someone's found a loophole to allow other people to do it, but I can't do it yet. Mm. So I was like, you know what? You know, fair enough. I'm doing the hosting thing. There's going to be a point where I come back to wrestling, and when I do, I want to be in the best shape possible.
Yeah.
And also, as a side, I'm like, I want, like, people, you know, the Progress stuff was going on WWE Network. I still want to look as good as I can on the network.
Of course, yeah.
And even to the point where, like, as each show goes on, I want to wear less and less clothes. And then, yo, why is this guy not in the ring yet? So I'm getting the best shape of my life for when any potential opportunity came as well to wrestle, which it did in the end. So, you know.
This, the Progress gig quickly. When you started the hosting, obviously the first day, everyone tuned in, want to see what you're doing with the hosting. You come out in your shirt and your ring gear, your trunks. And I died. I said, I thought this guy is hosting. What's he wearing his ring gear for?
No, you know what it was, right? Because I bought all this new, this shiny new ring gear. And also, I didn't want to, like, one thing I was worried about when I was doing the hosting gig is people having the perception that I'm done with wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So So if I didn't come out in my ring gear to begin with, then people might think, oh, is he actually retired now?
Yeah, he's just a host.
Yeah. So I want to make it clear that I'm not, even if it for like a couple episodes, I'm in my ring gear because I'm still planning to wrestle at some point.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I think the hosting gig, from my side of things, looking at it, I thought it was a good opportunity to show off this new character.
Oh, absolutely.
With
absolutely.
Lots of promos and stuff like that. How did you find it? Obviously, kind of, I guess it's nothing you've done before. So being kind of thrown into the fire, doing that kind of role.
Well, like, it was really difficult. Like, it's a hard job. I didn't appreciate how hard a job it is. And I was also following Jim, who did it before, who is a comedian by trade.
Yeah.
He's a slash MC, slash compare. So he does all this sort of stuff. Mm. You know, he's been doing this for however many years. Also, Progress is his product. So he's so much part of that brand, and also he knows everything about that product inside and out. And also there's a familiarity aspect of, like, the fans have associated Jim with Progress for however long, you know, 8, 9 years or whatever it was at the time. I think 8 years. Nine years, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so coming up, like, replacing him was always going to be a tough ask. Then you got the additional thing of trying to hype up a crowd that isn't there. Trying to feed off energy of people who aren't there. Essentially, I'm looking at just a cameraman and a wall. That's all I have in front of me, and I have to be the most excited person in a room with no people. So it's really difficult. Initially, I wouldn't say I struggled with it, but I think initially there was like I had to find my feet with it initially. Then we got to a point where, like, actually, no, I actually really enjoy this now, and I've got to a point where, you know, this is fun. I'm enjoying doing this, and I'm less concerned about when am I going to wrestle next. And looking back at it now, I always have the opinion it was a great opportunity to get the new character stuff out, but also, looking back at it now, I only realized. So I mentioned my dad lives in Miami. When I had the match with Warren. I was in Miami visiting my dad. So we had the tag match with Warren. I was in Miami visiting my dad. And, like, my dad's of this, now he's like big balling. Now he lives in Miami. He has, like, you know, he doesn't do food shops, he just orders Deliveroo. Or, like, just, well, some reason he's loaded.
Living well.
He's living very well. And he has every streaming service in the world, basically. So on the off chance, I said to him, "Have you got Peacock Network?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Oh, I've got a match going on there today." And I don't know if you've probably not used Peacock, but it's very clunky. And so for me to find what I had to do, I had to search my own name on there. And then, which was didn't help at all, because not only they had the NXT UK match was in, the UK tournament match in, it had every clip that I'd hosted for Progress. So I was like, oh, this is long, but also really good because I'm all over the network now if you search my name. So that's a real cool benefit. And at the same time, you know, one day I might want to go into hosting or presenting on TV or something. And I can now put together, well, I'm in the middle of putting together a showreel. Well, I've done on there. And I've got so much footage for a showreel.
Brilliant.
Which, you know, I never would have thought of before. It's great.
It's been a sick opportunity, and like I said, although it's not where I wanted to see you, I don't think I thought you had retired. I just didn't understand why you weren't wrestling.
And I think that's a lot of people didn't understand why I wasn't wrestling.
But
people to think that I had retired. So,
I think because I'd literally watched the rebrand. I'd watched all those first kind of vignettes and stuff you'd put on social media. I thought, if anything, this is going to benefit the character a lot. People are going to be wanting to see this character by the time wrestling does open up and stuff. And, you know, like you said, you step back into the Progress ring with Warren Banks. You had your tag match, you've had your singles match. Now you've got a six-pack challenge almost for the number one contenders match coming up in a couple weekends' time. What's your feelings for that? You feeling confident?
Well, it's a big deal. It's number one contention for the championship that's held by Car and Law at the moment, and now we're doing it in front of fans. Mm. You know, I wouldn't have found myself to be in this position 6 months ago. So, you know, it's a big one. I'm getting ready for it. I'm putting on a lot of size nice. At the moment. So,
you've been flexing this bicep all interview.
I'm going down the heavyweight big boy route now. It's none of this hybrid.
Yeah.
Actually, you won't see me doing code reds and stuff no more. So I'm going to be just doing big boy stuff. So, but hey, it's an opportunity that I'm looking forward to. I'm confident. So
good. Yeah. And you know, good for me,
so
and progress being, you know, this is their first match back on the road. I assume, you know, this is going to be the biggest crowd, you know, this year that you would have, well, the year's just started. So yeah, it'll be the biggest crowd you wrestled in front of Progress's, you know, first show back on the road. So it's a really good spot to be in.
Absolutely, we're going to kill it. So
cool. Looking forward to it. I shall be in attendance that day. I've got my ticket. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. You mentioned, where you were speaking about Lance Storm and Dr. Tom, I was going to ask you anyway, have you had like a professional kind of mentor at any point apart from like these guys in regards to wrestling?
No. So like, obviously I train and what have you, train at wrestling schools and what have you. When COVID hit, there's no one really able to train with. So I took up these online coaching sessions. I just did one with Eddie Dennis as well, actually. Eddie Dennis, Dr. Tom, Lance Storm. Now I'm back training again. I train at Mike Bird's school, Catch 22. And I think Mike's a great mentor. Maybe not so much for me, more such for people coming up into the business, but he's still been fantastic help for me. But the mental thing doesn't really happen as much as it should do, if that makes sense. If I had a mentor back in, like, you know, 5 years ago, I think my career trajectory would have changed quite significantly. Because obviously when I did the UK tournament thing, I was very much in the deep end as a new guy. So if I had a mentor back then, who knows where I'd be now.
So. Is this something that you just haven't really had access to, or is this something that just doesn't really happen in wrestling? You don't really have mentors like that.
I don't know. I don't think it happens as much as it should do, but I know definitely something I definitely didn't have. I know a lot of the guys, again, I'll go back to the tournament days, but a lot of the guys who were on the tournament were all within the same wrestling group or same wrestling circles area or something. Yeah. So yeah, the Scottish guys who all, you know, together, the Midlands guys all together. I was the only guy from London. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, bro, to be honest, I think you have a truly unique story. And I think you're someone, I think that's what really attached, even before we really started connecting and speaking over the last year and stuff. What I've always been connected with is that, for me, you're a WWE guy, as we call them these days. You're a WWE guy. And you're someone, I feel, that has so many facets of their character and personality just ready. You could almost be put into any situation within wrestling, I think, and flourish. And that's very good. Obviously, we see some people, as we call them, work rate perverts, that, you know, they're in-ring brilliant, but maybe they're lacking in character or some other area. But I feel you're very well-rounded. And like you have said, 2022 may be your year. Something is coming. Something's definitely bubbling. And for me, it's just a matter of time.
I don't have a lot of time left. I'm getting old, but yeah, I feel like this year is going to be a good year for me, because I have the momentum that I had before COVID, and I feel like good things are going to happen to me this year. So
Yeah, no, we definitely put it out there, man. Because like you said, if you're, especially if you're going to go back and take that heavyweight approach, and now you can attach a character to that person as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I feel like you're very, very well-rounded. What do you want to, have you set out like a goals, anything you want to achieve specifically this year?
Yeah, so I want to wrestle on TV mm-hmm. this year, wherever that may be. I want to make Everything Pattern 2 happen this year. I think, again, it's very needed. You know, conversations we've had for the last week or so, and that seems...
If you just want to say quickly, for those that don't know, what Everything Patterned was.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Everything Patterned was a show that featured predominantly black talent. There were a couple of workers there of Asian descent who, via, I guess, their tag team partners were able to work the show. It was for Black History Month, and it was just basically a focus and a showcase of the Black British talent that we had in the country. It was done with Wrestling Resurgence for Black History Month, basically. And it was very, very well received, and people have been asking me weekly, when's it coming back? When are you doing something like this? When are you doing that? And I have no answer for it because I don't really have the platform myself to be able to put on my own wrestling show on my own. But I'm going to work on it, and I hope to be able to give good news about that at some point soon. So,
another arm of the Roy Johnson Empire.
Among everything, I just want to have fun this year, you know.
Of course.
I want to enjoy it, because if I don't enjoy it, why am I doing it?
That's it. It'll just feel like another kind of 9-to-5 or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Oh, great conversation, bro. Before we get out of here,
one more goal, which just reminded me. I want to do something in the hosting space within wrestling. So you had your friends hooked on wrestling on the other week. I love to host one of their parties. Something like that would be a kind of left field, I guess, out there goal. It's to host a wrestling party. So
I mean, it's not even impossible. And this is what I mean. I just feel like you've got so much of these traits and attributes within wrestling. No matter where it is, you could fit easily. Obviously, I don't want you to be refine and just that's what you're doing from now on. We still want to see you in the ring and stuff, but mate, the world's your oyster. I honestly feel like it's just a matter of time before we see you popped up where you want to be on TV in whatever the role is going to be, and I think you'll do a good job. Like I'm saying, before we get out of here, maniac moment. This is the last thing that truly popped you in wrestling, made you lose your shit. What is it?
So obviously I listened to your podcast, and so this question and this or that, I'm dreading. And like, so my answer would have been CM Punk coming back.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it live. The only reason I said that is because it took me back to a place when I was a kid and I couldn't watch a pay-per-view live.
Yeah,
because I was a kid, I had to wait until I come back from school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go to bed on a Sunday and I'd be asleep, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking, I wonder what's happened at the paper.
Same stuff.
Yeah. But the thing is, that when CM Punk came back, because I went to bed that night thinking, I woke up in the night thinking, has he come yet? And then I went back to sleep and I watched it in the morning. But that's not my answer. My answer is actually, now it's just been announced, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is going to happen. I'm going to get my dream match.
Yeah.
Two massive athletic heavyweight wrestlers are going to smash the hell out of each other. It's going to be great. So, I'm really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to it.
It's a draw. Like, I was listening to Wrestling's podcast earlier, and Derek Delboy was saying... Delboy was saying I had no plan to come and watch the Royal Rumble, but because of that match, I'm coming to watch it. I think the minute it was announced, obviously coming out of day one, it looked like we're going that way. The minute it was announced off on Raw, I said, finally. And I was so happy for Bobby Lashley. Like, because this is the match he's wanted. Even him and MVP, I saw there's a little smile, a little break of character in the ring. Like, yeah, that's
gonna happen. You're gonna get them too, obviously. And then you're gonna get MVP versus Heyman on the microphone. Oh my god,
yeah, yeah, that's gonna be very good.
Yeah, can't wait, can't wait.
Cool. One last thing, I want you to suggest a match of yours that you want people to check out, whether that's on something on YouTube or on the network, and I can put the link in the podcast notes, the show notes. Anything you want us to have a look at?
I'd probably say, I was going to say me versus Rampage Brown for everything patterned, but because it's such a while back and things have changed so much for me as a wrestler, as a character, my look, that's what I've since. It's not really reflective of what I'm doing now. So I'd probably say me versus Warren, Progress, Chapter 26. It's played on WWE Network. So I'd say that one.
I'll stick that in there. Yeah. That was a very, very good match. Unfortunately, well, when are we getting a rematch? Is the question.
I don't know. Like me and Warren are cool in that now. So like he got what he wanted. He got me to get a little bit angry and you know, knock him about a bit. But who knows? Let's just say he better not get my way. In this match,
that's it.
Because if he does, then we're gonna get, I don't know, Roy Johnson versus Warren Banks, five.
Okay. So there's a blood feud at this point, but guys are stable mates.
Yeah.
Cool. Big wavy Roy Johnson. I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to my brother Roy Johnson coming through today for the show. Absolutely great story. Story that's far from over. Like he said, he just wants to wrestle, man. He's got his own goals that he really wants to achieve. But, you know, I think his story is far from done. I think Roy is destined for some big stuff, especially 2022, man. I think he has what it takes. Whatever the field is in wrestling, I feel like Roy can wear that hat and really, you know, show himself in a good light. So I'm really looking forward to what he's got scheduled for himself in 2022. And as he was saying, you know, like when his dad was able to watch him on TV from Miami, he was able to bring his mom and his family to his shows and things like that. It was just the feel good factor, man. This is what we do it for. We're doing it for our families, working hard. Just a great story all round. I'm going to put Roy Johnson's details in the description, in the show notes, so you guys make sure you check him out and everything he's up to. Just to update you guys on what's happening on the YouTube, in the last week, we've released videos around Mickie James and her imminent return to WWE and why that is happening. So go and check out that video on the YouTube. Also, like I said, we talk about Jade Cargill. Was she the right choice for the first TBS champion? So I've got a lot popping on the YouTube for you guys. So appreciate it if you could check that out. But guys, that is done. Maniac Gang, the show is over. Thanks for joining me again. Please remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on your podcast platform of choice and leave us with a 5-star review. I thoroughly appreciate it every single time. And of course, you got Twitter, you got Instagram. Share the podcast as well. Let people know what you're listening to and that this is the place to be. Guys, that is it. I'll be back same time next week. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.